The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, on Daf Kufchav Zayin Amud Aleph, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Shilo, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Shisha Dvarim Shadam Ochel Perosehem Ba'olam Azev Akeren Kayem Solom Abov Yeluhim. So he has a list, enumerates six different mitzvos, categories which engender a schar in this world, but the main keren is left for the olam ha'emes, olam ha'ba, the Elohein. He goes through a whole list. The last on the list is hadan eschavero lekaf zechus. So we have to judge our friend favorably, and that's a requirement. That mitzvah will lead us to keren kayemes olam ha'ba. I want to study with you the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Chav Zayin Amud Beis. If you happen to have the sheets, then it's on page 2 of your sheets. Let me just double check that. Yeah, it's the bulk of the page, the third source, all the way from the second third all the way down to the bottom of the page. So the Gemara tells us the following, and this is a hemshech of the sugi that we saw on Kufchav Zayin Amud Aleph, Hevidan Eschavero Lekaf Zchus. Tan Rabbanan Hadan Chaver Lekaf Zchus Donan Oso Leschus. God will judge us favorably because we judged human beings favorably. That's called midah keneged midah. Umaisa biyadam echad sheyorad migolil ha'elyon. Someone who came down from the north, the niskar, and he was hired as an employee, Eitzel Balabayis, echad badorim down south, shalosh shanim. 3 years he worked and he wasn't paid for his work. Erev Yom HaKippurim, Omar Lo, the laborer turns to his employer, Tein li schari, I want to be paid. V'elech v'ezon es ishti ubonai, it's time that I go back and support my family. Omar Lo, the Baal Bayis says, Ein li mos. Omar Lo, so the poel says, Tein li peros. Okay, give me something of value. Omar lo, the Baal Bayis says, Ainli, I don't have any fruits. Tainli karka, give me ownership, you know, write me a deed of ownership on a piece of real estate. So the Baal Bayis says, Ainli, I have no karka to give you. Tainli behema, do you have any animals to give me? Ainli, I have no animals. Now, mind you, this employer is a pretty wealthy guy. He has no animals, he has no fruits, he has no money to give him, he has no karka to give me, he has nothing. Teili karimuk sasos, give me feathers, you know, give me a pillow. I still have the pillow I bought in Canada. It's a very good pillow. Ainli, he says, I don't have it. Hifshil, kalov lachorov, you know, like Huckleberry Finn, he puts his few items on his backpack. V'holach lebeso bepache hanefesh. And imagine coming home on Erev Yom Kippur after 3 years and he doesn't have a dime in his pocket. This is a worker. Liachar regel, natal balabayis scharo biyado. After Sukkis, the balabayis gathers together the funds. V'imo masoi shlosha chamorim. And he takes along with him three donkeys laden with good stuff. Echad shal meichel, one has food on it. Echad shal mishta, one has liquids on it, drinks, maybe some schnapps, some whiskey. We don't know about that, do we? But okay. The echad shal minei begadim, all sorts of nice, tasty pastries, you know, from Grzinski's, whatever bakery you like, Hermes, I don't know. The holach lo, they used to have Richmond's, but I think they changed the name. I don't know where what do they call it now?
Richmond's.
Oh, it's still called Richmond's.
It's spelled differently.
Oh, Richmond's the second, okay. Okay, holach lo, lebeso, he shows up at the house of his worker. And they sit down and they eat a meal. And after they eat this meal, nasan lo scharo, finally, 3.25 years have gone by. The Baal Bayis pulls out a wad of bills and gives him his money. Amalo. So the Baal Bais turns to him. He's very curious about his laborer. He says, "Bishash amarta li ten li schari amarti she'en li mo ein li mo spamecha chashtantoni. Did you suspect me of lying and trying to cheat you when I said I have no money? Amarti, I said shema prakmatia bizol nisnamul chavlakachta bahem. You took all your money and you invested it because a very special deal came your way." What did you think when I couldn't even offer you an animal? Maybe you have a rental agreement and therefore you can't give me the animal, so he rented out to someone else. What did you think when I said to you I have no karka? Maybe you paid some sort of sharecropper to work the land and therefore you can't give it away. Maybe you didn't have a chance to be mafresh trumos umaisros. Again, there's a lot of mafreshim here, so why couldn't he be mafresh then? Then he asks him, "Bishash amarti lcha ainli karvu ksusos v'mechadish." Tani amarti shema hikdish kol nechasav l'shamayim. You will makdish it to gavah. Amar lo avoda. Avoda is a lashon shvua. Kach haya. Everything that you said was true. He darti kol nechasai. I consecrated all my possessions l'shamayim to shamayim. Bishvil hurkinis b'ni. Shalo asak v'Torah, because I wanted to sort of punish him so that he'll come back and study Torah. And therefore, everything that you said about me was absolutely correct. Ukshabasi etzal chaverai shebedar mitiruli kol nedarai. I went down south to my bezdin, my local tribunal, and they were matim my neder. And ata now kishem shetantani l'schus hamakom yadin oscha. Just like you judged me favorably in every case, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu should judge you favorably. So Rabosai, I want to make 3 points here. Point number one is we see the significance of being dan l'kaf schus as one of the 6 ways of guaranteeing the keren kayemis l'olam haba. Number two, we see the significance of being dan l'kaf schus in the fact that Hashem will be dan us l'kaf schus, and the poskim write that during the Yemei HaRachamim in Elul and during the Yemei HaDin, the first 10 days of Tishrei, we should be extremely careful about being dan eschaver l'kaf schus, because then Hashem will judge us favorably. And finally, we see that even in a case where it's rachok miod, it's very hard to imagine that this rich employer didn't have money, didn't have animals, peros, shavakesef, didn't have karmuksus, didn't have karka, didn't have anything to pay him with. But in each case, the worker was dan l'kaf schus. He found the dochak, some sort of flimsy explanation as to why he, the employer, couldn't pay the funds. And he accepted it. Comes back to his family and Hashem put me in this situation, but my employer is not at fault. All this was being dan l'kaf schus. And what I'd like to do is take a little bit of your time to go through some of the other sources about dan l'kaf schus. And I want to begin with, of course, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which is on page 1 of your Mar Makomos page, if you have it. The Mishnah says, "Have he done as kol ha'adam l'kaf schus?" Now that's an interesting. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Sorry, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
I want to dumb this guy, the guy l'kaf schus. But you know, in this situation, in this story, every time I hear it, I'm just asking. He knew the guy was finishing after 3 years his job. Did he not? Should he not have in all of these cases put aside this person's wages to pay him on time? We know that's one of the halachas, that you have to pay the guy.
That's a great question, Joe. And the Mefarshim try to rack their brains on this. If we have time later on, or if not, I'll follow up Lee Neder with the answers to that question in an email. Right now, I think we'll appreciate all the answers to your question better when we get a little bit of an overview of what this obligation is like, when it applies, to whom does it apply, what the scope of it is. I want to point out to you that there's a contradiction, l'chora, between the Mishnah and Avos, which formulates have he done as kol ha'adam l'kaf schus, as opposed to the Gemara in Shavuos. If you fast forward now to page 3, you'll see that the Gemara in Shavuos on Daf. Just 1 second. Of course, I can't find
page
it.
Page two.
Sorry, the Gemara in Shavuos on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. There, it derives the conclusion: Have he done es chavero l'kaf schus? Well, is it kol adam or is it chavero? You know, do I have to judge everyone favorably, or only it's my close buddy? Or perhaps chavero means some sort of very high religious standard who's called a chaver, like Gemara says in Psachim, that if you find that a person passed on, and that very day he brought in his fruits from his field, you can assume, because he's a chaver, he's chavero, that he was mafresh trumas and maisus immediately, urgently, without delaying, without postponement. So what is it? Is kol adam l'kafskus or only chavero l'kafskus? And I want to point out to you that the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, which is on the top left of page 1, says the following: HaMitzvah kuf ayin zayin shenitztavenu nitztavu adayonim lahashvos bein bali adinim, meaning when the two litigants come in front of the judge for judgment, then the Dayanim have to look at each one of them as being a tzaddik, and they're equal in his eyes. And then he says, towards the bottom of that presentation, Yeshbo Od, included in this mitzvah, Sheroi Ladun Es Chavero L'Kaf Schus. The Rambam seems to accept the formulation of the Gemara in Shavuos that we saw, and the Gemara in Shavuos said on Daf Lamed that it's Chavero L'Kaf Schus. But the plot goes thicker, because although that's the Rambam's formulation in the Sefer HaMitzvos, if you take a look at the Rambam in Hilchas Deos, which you'll see on page 3 of your Maror Makomos, that's the bottom right, there the Rambam describes the obligations of a Talmud Chacham, and a Talmud Chacham is supposed to be a paradigm of behavior, and other people imitate him, and therefore he has to be on a very high standard, lo yeit soek, v'tzovech, etc., etc. He has to talk in a very calm voice. And then the Rambam says, v'don es kol adam l'kaf schus. And I have two questions. First of all, here the Rambam speaks that don es kol adam l'kaf schus, as opposed to what he wrote in Sefer HaMitzvahs, don es chavero l'kaf schus. And more complicated than that is the Rambam here classifies don es chaver l'kaf schus under the special chiyuv of a Talmud Chacham, which is not the impression you get in Sefer HaMitzvahs. In Sefer HaMitzvahs, he's addressing all of us. We all share an equal burden, equal responsibility to judge our fellow man favorably. Here in Hilchas Deos, the Rambam seems to assume that this is a special, unique chiyuv incumbent upon a Talmud Chacham. So in order to get into this whole sugya, I think what we have to do is we have to classify all people into 3 classifications for simplicity's sake. Number 1 is the tzaddik. On the other end of the polar extreme is the rasha. And in the middle we have, of course, the beinoni. And in order to appreciate the differences between these, we take a look at the Rambam. This time, I want to show you the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos on Avos, which is the first source on your page.
Which page?
On page 1. The Rambam writes, Have he done es kol ha'adam l'kaf schus? It's about 7 lines down in the Rambam. In Yano, k'shiyia adam shalo teda bo im tzadik hu im rasha. First, the Rambam has a case of an unidentified individual. You cannot define him because you don't know him well enough to define him. And pretty much that would apply to most, you know, probably I call it the silent majority. And you see him do a maisa, or to say something, and you could interpret it in one of 2 ways. It could be l'tova, or it could be l'ra. Says the Rambam, kach oso al atov, v'lo tachshu bo ra. So you're in a 50-50 situation, and therefore the Rambam says, judge him favorably. The Rambam goes on to say that there's another category. If he fits into the category, not of this Beinoni, of this middle ambiguous category, but rather he's a tzaddik mefursam, it's a well-known tzaddik who's always engaged in pulos tovos. Now, says the Rambam, your obligation to be damakav schus applies even when the action that he does in the eyes of the spectator looks like it's a poel ra, like it's going towards the evil. And eino yachol achrio l'tov ela b'doch ha-gadol, the only way that he could possibly reinterpret his actions is to say that he was magdish all his nechassim. That's why he can't pay us, can't pay the workers. And even though it's rachok, says the Rambam, nevertheless tikach oso shu tov, you have to squeeze it into that very minute possibility and assume, as long as this shum side of shoros liyos tov, there's some sort of way of coming, you know, you have to be very creative and ingenious to come up with some sort of an explanation. Why did he behave that way? The alzeh amru b'gemara, regarding this second category, namely the tzaddik mefursam, the Gemara in Shabbos Sadi Zayin says kol achoshin v'ksherim loke b'gufo. And you'll see the same kind of distinction in Rabbeinu Yonah, which is again the super commentary on Avos. It's published right below the Rambam. And here you want to look at about, I would say, line 5, Yesh Lomer Litovin is Kavin. You have that line? He says, Aval Eina Dvarim Kein B'tzadik Gomor. If he's a middle of the road guy, then, you know, you don't know whether he did good, he wasn't doing so good. You have to assume his intention was for good, because it's 50-50. Aval Eina Dvarim Kein B'tzadik Gomor, Ki Atzadik Afilu B'maiseh Shekulo Ra. Now watch this. You see, in the Rambam was saying that the tzadik did an action which looks evil, but b'tzad ha-rochok, you could give a kvesh, you know, if you come up with a creative answer. The Rabbeinu Yonah is adding another embellishment, and he says that even though it's nota l'kafchova mikolever, whichever way you look at it, in any perspective, it seems to be nota that he's l'chova, but yadineu l'schus, maybe he did it b'shgaga, there was something that he was unaware of. But then Rabbeinu Yonah goes a step further, and he says that the Gemara in Brachos tells us in Ra'isa Talmud Chacham Sha'avar Avera. So in this case, we know for sure that he did an Avera. There's no way of being Miyashiv B'dochak. Is he did it Belila at night? Al Tahar Achrov B'yom. Don't think that he failed to do tshuva, but rather you have to assume that he did tshuva. And first the Gemara says Shema Asa Tshuva. Then the Gemara says Shema Salkadak. Maybe he did Tshuva. Ema Vadai Asa Tshuva. So here we have a whole new level of Hevidanis Hatzadik Hagomer Lekav Schus. That even Joe, is it?
How do you get to Zokin Mamri?
Zokin Mamri is someone who rebels against the court.
Right.
I lost you. I'm sorry. Did I mention Zokin Mamre?
You're going to dumb the cuffs to us for everything that he does. You'll never understand. You'll never define him as a Zokin Mamre in the end.
Well, no. Again, we can only judge someone as a criminal, whether he's a Zokin Mamre or any other criminal, if we have clear cut evidence that he was involved in a criminal action. Rabbeinu Yonah is saying that even if you have critical, you have clear cut evidence, nevertheless you still have a chiyuv to be dam lekaf schus. What do you mean he did an avera? The answer is he did tshuva. That's not going to help you with the Zokin Mamre, because Zokin Mamre is chayav even if he does tshuva.
I understand. How are you going to get to the Zokin Mamre?
Because we have clear-cut evidence.
What?
We have clear-cut evidence.
But you said that he did tshuva.
That's not going to change this. That's not going to again. There are two judgments over here. There's one judgment that goes on in Bezdin. When there's clear-cut evidence of a criminal act, Beis Din knows no rachmanis, there's no compassion.
Okay.
Now we're talking about how you and I are individuals will judge this criminal. We have to assume that they did tshuva. That's also included in the Havi Dones Chaver L'Kav Schus in the case of a Tzadik Gomor. And even though Beis Din is going to judge him based on clear-cut testimony from two Edim, for whatever punishment, it could even be, like in the case of King Mamre, a capital punishment, nevertheless, we have to assume he did tshuva. Why? Because Avidan is chaver lekafskus. So that's what we have here in the Rambam and in Rabbeinu Yonah with regard to a tzaddik gomu. Now I want to talk to you about a Rasha Mefursam, someone who's well known to be a Rasha. And once again, I want to get back to the Rambam on the top of your page. And if you count up from the bottom of the Rambam, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines up, please underline this. The Rambam writes, V'chein k'shiyeh Rasha, v'yisparsim u'maisav. He's a well-known evildoer. He's really the pits. He's the worst of the worst. The acher kach ra'inu sheyasa maisa shekol ra'yosav moroshu tov. Hey, maybe this Russia got it right for a change. You know, it could happen that sometimes a Russia does something good. You know, the old lady asked him to cross. He crossed her over. He says, nevertheless, yesh efsharis rachok l'ra. There's some sort of mashu. There's a media. A modulum of possibility, I don't know, 2% chance that he had a bad intention, you know. He was crossing this lady, but, you know, he put his hand in a pocketbook, to, you know, to steal some bucks, you know what I'm saying? So in such a case, he shove every man. Be very careful of this Russia. You know, stay at a distance from him. Even though he looks like he's out there doing good, stay away. Rabbeinu Yonah goes even further than the Rambam. If you take a look at Rabbeinu Yonah, let's see again, if you're midway through Rabbeinu Yonah, you'll see a line that starts with Al Yado. He says, Hidelcha ki ein ladun l'kafcho v'atzadik ha-gomor li'olam. A tzadik gomor, you should never judge negatively. Gamin ha-rosha gomor lo'om. A rosha gomor is not included under this principle of Idan es chaver l'kafschus. Even if the Russia did something that looks great from beginning to end, there's no serious possibility of suspecting him of something evil. Nevertheless, imagine. You have to come up with some sort of wild idea and be very creative about it. And if you fast forward a little bit, he quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, Maskil tzadik lebeis rasha, misalef rishayim lura. Misalef means when you have to distort the truth. That's called siluf. You have to actually distort the truth, so to speak, and come up with some explanation as to why he was motivated by evil thoughts to do a maisa, which was tov. And if you take a look at the last two lines of Rabbeinu Yonah, he says, "Misalif Rishon Lurah, Tzadik Shiro Maser Rishoyim Anir B'Derech Tov, Misalif Oso Mateu Lurah." Even a tzadik should look and scrutinize the actions of a Rasha until finally he can come up with some explanation as to why the Rasha, in typical way, was interested in perpetrating evil. Again, this is a Rasha Mefursam. Again, there are many people who will fit into the categories of a Beinoni. So I would say that between the two polar extremes, which represent each one of them, you know, a small percentage of the population, the vast majority fill into the first category, which is neither a tzaddik mefursam nor a rasha mefursam, but rather a person, and we don't know exactly whether he's a rasha or a tzaddik. So what's the?
So Rabbeinu Yonah is arguing with Rambam on Hilchos Deos, where he says,
again, the Rambam himself argues with the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, meaning okay. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos presents the following conclusion that the chiyuv of being danes chaver l'kafschus belongs to the Talmud Chacham and only to the Talmud Chacham. The Rambam himself contradicts himself, because in Sefer HaMitzvos he clearly writes, addressing every single person, every one of us, that we have to be danes chaver l'kafschus. Rabosai, let's spend a little bit of time on the middle category, which is the ruba deruba of the population. Now this middle category itself could be divided into two major tributaries, two major roads. One is a person, and we don't know how to judge the person because he himself is ambiguous, like most of us are. Sometimes we do good, sometimes the other way around. The second tributary is where the action itself is confusing because the action could go this way, it could be interpreted that way. And here we have the Rambam, who again at the beginning of his presentation, in his Pirush HaMishnayos at the beginning of page 1, writes, "Kishiyia adam shlo teida bo im tzadiku im rasha," and the Rambam says that you should be danim lekaf schus lotach shov bo ra. The Rambam seems to assume that mi'ikar ha-din, according to strict letter of the law, you have to judge him favorably. Correct? Why? Because you don't know whether he did it negatively or for a positive reason. So everything is shakul, everything is 50-50. You're responsible to do it, to judge him favorably. Correct? That's the impression you get from the Rambam at the beginning of his Pirush HaMishnayos on this Mishnah. But now, Rabos, I fast forward to the last line in the Rambam, in the very same paragraph. The Rambam writes, "V'kishayia bilti yadua, v'maisa bilti machri lechemet." So we don't know the person, and we don't know the action. "Tzorech b'derech hachasidus, shetodin lekaf schutz." The Rambam adds two words here which bother me tremendously. Derech hachasidus, implying that you're not required, according to the strict letter of the law, to be dan l'kaf schus, because you don't know one way or the other, but you should be a chassid. You should rise to the occasion. That's not what the Rambam said at the beginning of this paragraph. The Rambam at the beginning of his presentation said, if lo teidabo, you don't know if he's tzadik rasha, and you see him doing a maisa, says the Rambam, tifarsheyu al derech shiyia litova. That's what you have to do. Kach oso al hatov. And this is a tzarech iyun in the Rambam, how the Rambam could contradict himself. Now, Rabosu, we have two contradictions in the Rambam. The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvahs versus the Rambam in Mishneh Torah, as to whether or not this chiyuv is incumbent upon a Talmud Chacham or according to everybody. And secondly, the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos contradicts himself from the Reisha to the Sefer about this middle case where it's ambiguous and we don't know how to judge him. Is it Nidas Chasidus or is it not? Now again, we have Rabbeinu Yonah below the Rambam, and at the beginning of his presentation, he writes, "Zeh medaber al adam shein yodim bo im utzadik v'im rasha, o shemakirin ososhu ish benoni pa'amim ose ra upa'amim ose tov." Here's where the Torah tells us that we have to be dan l'kaf schus. And the Gemara derives it from the pasuk which is on Yetapia page in Parshas Kedoshim. It says, "Lo sasu avol b'mishpat," etc., etc. But tzedek tishpot es hamisech. You have to judge your fellow Jew in a favorable way, and that's the source for being dan l'kaf schus. And therefore, says Rabbeinu Yonah, "If yasa davar sheyesh laduna lechova v'yesh laduna l'schus v'shikol adas," you have different ways of interpreting his actions. Oh, and please underline these words, "afilu lefi hanire no telekaf chova yoser," even though the circumstances seem to indicate, the umdana, is that he's doing it lechova for the wrong reasons. "Im mishum tzad v'inyan yuchal aduna l'schus," but you find some way of being danim l'kaf schus, let's say it's a 20% possibility that he did it for the right reasons. "Yesh lomer l'tovin iskaven." That's whereas in the case of the tzadik gomur, you have no way really of justifying his actions, but nevertheless you'll have to come up with something ingeniously. But in the case of this middle fellow, which we call the Beinoni, even though it's a little bit rachok, you have to be nichnas l'dochak to be danim l'kaf schutz, even though it's niril nota yosel l'kaf chova. Now, Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't mention that this is midas chasidus, and this is the way he understands the Mishnah in Avos. I would at least be inclined to believe, again, note litova, that according to Rabbi Yonah, this is an absolute responsibility, and it's a chiyuv on everyone. This is not midas chasidus. So whereas the Rambam says that in the case where you don't know whether he did it, it's bilti yadua, v'bilti machriya, you should be danim l'kaschus mitzad midas chasidus, the Rambam interpreted the Mishnah as only referring to a super duper chasidus level. Rabbi Yonah seems to interpret that this is an obligation that's universal and compelling upon everyone. So again, we haven't yet resolved any of the contradictions in the Rambam, but what we do seem to have clearly is, at least according to the Maskon of the Rambam, a debate between Rabbi Yonah and the Rambam, whereas the Rambam talks about Midas Chasidus, Rabbi Yonah understands the Mishnah, Dan L'Kav Schus, is obligatory upon everyone, Chassid or not. Right? You don't have to be a Chassid for this. And Rabbi Yonah goes very far in all three categories, much further than the Rambam. In the case of the Rosh HaMefursam, Rabbi Yonah says, you got to ingeniously, with your ingenuity, come up with a reason why he was motivated l'ra, and that's called salef. What's his pasuk there? Misalef rishayim l'ra. Misalef rishayim l'ra. Rabbi Yonah goes to an extreme in the case of a tzaddik mefursam and says, even though it's clear cut indicating that he did it, you know, avera, but nevertheless, maybe he did it b'shoge, come up with some sort of explanation. And then Rabbi Yonah goes a step further and he says that even if you know that the tzaddik did an avera, you have to assume that he rectified his avera through tshuva overnight, immediately. And then in the middle category, here too Rabbi Yonah takes an extreme position. If I only had this Rabbi Yonah in all of his writings, I would say he's a very extreme type of guy. And Rabbi Yonah insists that if he's this middle shakul, you know, shakul kind of situation, once again, you have to go into a dochak, not coming up with some ingenious invention like he does with a tzaddik mefursam, but nevertheless, to be note lekaf, lekaf zchus, even if it means biderech, biderech rechoka. And perhaps we should combine these words of Rabbeinu Yonah with the words of Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva, which are on page 4 of Yemara Makomos. And there too, in Shar Gimel, Rabbeinu Yonah addresses this mission in Avos and the obligation to be dan l'kaf zchus. And Rabbeinu Yonah writes on the bottom right category, "V'hine kisira adam asher yidaber dovro yasa maisa v'yesh lishpo dvoro u'maseyu l'tzad chova u'l'tzad zchus." Interesting. The prerequisite for this to be included under this obligation that others have to treat you under the law and the obligation of being Dan L'Kav Zchus, the prerequisite, you, not everyone is a candidate for that. Not everyone has a ticket to enter into that club. You've got to be Muchzak Yorei Elokim. Then Nischayavnu Lodino Solakavskus al Derecha MS Gam Kiya Dova Koravinota Yoser Eitzel Hadas Lakavchov. Okay, so whereas Rabbeinu Yonah in his commentary on Avos omitted this description of the individual who's suspect as being a Yirei Elokim, he completely omitted that, which seems to imply that if you know nothing at all about this person, you still have to try to be miyashin b'dochak that maybe he did it litova. Here, in the Shari Tshuva, he takes a slightly different approach. And he says that you don't have to go into this dochak unless the person is known to be a Yirei Elokim. The imu min ha-beinonim asher yizaru min ha-chet upa'amim yikashlu ba Yesh alech lahatos ha-sofik lachri l'kaf z'chus But keep in mind that Rabbeinu Yonah, when he comes to the Beinanim, he's talking about a situation where objectively the spectator would not be inclined to be dan l'kaf chova. There's nothing that indicates evil intention in the action, inherent in the action. And then it's a 50-50, so you should be dan l'kaf schus. Whereas in the case of a Yirei Shamayim, Rabbeinu Yonah went one step further, and that reflects what he said in his Pirush on Avos for everyone. But here in Shari Tshuva, he only applies it to the Yirei Shamayim who avoids sin, not the Beinoni who sometimes falls prey to sin, but a Yirei Shamayim is consistently good. Then you have to enter into this Dochak situation. Gam ki yadav kara v'nota yosel litzad etzadas l'kaf chova. Then Rabbeinu Yonah says, "V'mitzase min haTorah shenemar b'tzedek tishpor avisecha." If a davar notel lekaf chova, yedavar tzecha kmo safek. V'altachri ehu lekaf chova. In the case of a Beinoni who sometimes sins, then if nothing is crystal clear here, and fakert the objective description of the action seems to be l'tzad chova, don't come to any definite conclusion. Leave it in your mind as a safek. In the same scenario, had he been a Yirei Elokim, we would have to definitely assume that he did it litzad tov. Ima ish hu rov maisav l'roa, if he fits into the category of a rasha, ki ein Yirei Elokim b'libo, he doesn't have any vestige of Yirei Elokim, the fear of God. Tachria maseu udvarav l'kaf chova. And he quotes the pasuk in Mishlei, Misalev Rishoyim Lara. So again, what we have here in Rabbeinu Yonah, in Shari Tshuva, which we did not have in Rabbeinu Yonah in his Pirush on Avos, is four categories. Rabbeinu Yonah in his Pirush on Avos only has three categories. And the middle category spans, as we said before, the entire gamut of the population, from anyone who's in between a Rasha Mefurshim and a Tzaddik Mefurshim. Here, in Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah fine-tunes it. I don't know which one was written first historically, I have to research that, but he now takes that middle gigantic category, which spans the gamut of that population, and he divides it into two categories. There is the Yirei Elokim, who stays away from evil, and then is the Beinoni, who, although he has Yiras Hashem in his heart, but it's not very strong. And you can never predict which way he's being pulled, towards good or towards evil. And the nafkamina between these two categories, says Rabbeinu Yonah, is a situation of a Maisa, which is notel etzad chova. And here it depends. If the guy is a Yirei Elokim, he has a great consistent record of fearing God, then even though it's notel etzad chova, you have to assume bevadai lekaf schutz. If on the other hand he's a Beinoni, and from time to time he does evil, so his Yirei Shamayim is not strong, then since it's notel etzad chova, objectively to the spectator it looks like he's doing it for evil reasons, wrong reasons, then we come to a suffix. We can't judge him at all. We have to leave it as a teku, as an unanswered question. And now what I'd like to figure out is the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim, as you know, is very famous for two works. And depending upon where your hashkafa lies, I don't know which is number one, which is number two on your list. For me, it's the Mishnah Berurah is number one, but for others, it's the Chafetz Chaim itself, which is the laws of Lashon Hara and Rechilus and so forth. That's number one, because keep in mind here, the Chafetz Chaim broke new ground. And not only that, the Chafetz Chaim wrote a third work, which is called Avas HaChesed, that's totally dedicated to Mitzvos Beinon L'Chaveros. So you see that when it comes to ethics, the Chafetz Chaim has an agenda. He wants to see the Jewish people as an ethical people. He was worried about the catastrophe that he knew was going to happen, and he thought that Beinon L'Chaveros would save us, and Shmiras HaLoshon. In fact, the Chafetz Chaim himself with Bein Adam L'Chaver was like extreme. You know, he couldn't even dream of speaking Lashon Hara. Not only that, in business matters, you know, he had a certain makolet over there in Radin, and then if he had any possible shemits of a doubt that maybe, you know, there was something illegal going on that this didn't stim, you know, he would run around giving out money to people, whatever he had. That's the personality, the kedusha, the sanctity of the Chafetz Chaim. So the Chafetz Chaim here, I just want to give you an overview, and then maybe we'll have time to read it inside. Some of this you can follow in the Be'er Mayim Chaim as I speak, which again is on the bottom of your page 4. That really the Rambam and Rabbi Yona are not disagreeing. That which the Rambam wrote, that an Adam Beinoni, Umaisa Shakul, a person who's in that middle category, Achiyuv Lodun Lekavskus Eino Elam Mimidas Chasidus, that's Adam She'eno Makiro Imu Tzadik O Rasha. So here's a brilliant move of the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim wants to create a whole new category. And he wants to say that the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah are on the same page with regard to this category. And that is someone you don't know. You have no clue. He comes from who knows where. Shows up on your doorstep. Is he a Rosh? Is he a Tzaddik? Nobody knows.
Not Chaver.
Correct. He's not Chaver at all. Here, the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos in the last line in his presentation introduces Midas Chasidus. Until the last line in the Rambam, and we have to again go back to the drawing board and read the Rambam again, until that point, the Rambam is discussing a person that we know, but he fits into this Beinoni category. And we can't anticipate whether this was done for good or the opposite. Here the Rambam would require everyone to be Danim Lekafskus. You don't have to be a Chassid. When the Rambam introduces Midas Chasidus at the end of his presentation, the Rambam is talking about someone that you don't know at all. And that's the Lashon of the Rambam, Kshiyia Bilti Yadua. Bilti Yadua means Eino Makiro, you don't know him. And there we have a Midas Chasidus. That Midas Chasidus, says the Chafetz Chaim, is what the Rambam has in mind by Talmid Chacham. You and I, if we're not Talmid Chachamim, we nevertheless have to strive to reach the level of Midas Chasidus, each and every one of us. And therefore we should be Dan Lekav Schus, even in the case of someone we don't know him at all. But if it's for us a Midas Chasidus, for a Talmud Chacham, it's absolutely required. When the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, in Perek Hey, where we saw that the Rambam writes Talmid Chachamim Yidan is called Adam Lekafskus, the Rambam adds the word Kol Adam. And therefore the Rambam is talking about everyone, even someone that you don't know at all. And that midah, which obligates a person to be Dabal Kafsu, somebody doesn't know, is limited to a Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham, and only a Talmud Chacham, is Mitzuva Ladin Kol Adam Lekafskus, says the Chafetz Chaim, even someone that he doesn't recognize, he doesn't know him at all. Now let's go to the Gemara in Shavuos. The Gemara in Shavuos that we saw, again, what page was it on? Page 2. There the Gemara says, Hevidan es chaveiro lekatzchus. Doesn't say kol adam. Ah, chaveiro lekatzchus. That's a person that you know, you recognize. And he's a Beinoni. And if he's a Beinoni, you, even according to the Rambam, are obligated to be danim lekatzchus according to the strict letter of the law. And now we can understand beautifully the language of the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Rambam says, "V'yeshbo od sheroy lonu chaveiro lekafschus." Notice that the Rambam here uses the language of chaveiro of the Gemara in Shavuos, not the language of the Mishnah in Avos, because the language of the Mishnah in Avos includes even an obligation, even vis-a-vis someone we don't know. The Rambam identifies that heavy done as kol adam as a midas chasidus, which means that you and I have to strive and aspire to reach that high level, ascend the mountain of chasidus. The case of a Talmud Chacham is that he, Meikar Adin, is obligated to be done as kol adam. That's the language of the Rambam in Perek Hey, Halacha Zayin of Hilchos Deis, of kol adam lekav zchus. That's a unique obligation that's incumbent upon the Talmud Chacham, even though he doesn't recognize the guy, doesn't know him. But if you ask me what is the universal mitzvah that's incumbent upon every one of us, that's the Mishnah, the Gemara in Masechet Shavuos, of being Danes Chavero Lekafschus, where you know him, and he's a Beinoni, sometimes does evil, sometimes there you have to be Dan Lekafschus, and everyone is obligated to be Danim Lekafschus. That's the Chavero Lekafschus that you're Makir, who's a Beinoni. That's the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs. And therefore, the Stira Lechora between Sefer HaMitzvahs and the Mishneh Torah is Miyushav. The Rambam in Mishneh Torah is addressing the Kol Adam situation, Eino Makiro. The Rambam holds Midas Chasidus, or in the language of Sefer Mada, and say in the Rambam is Hilchus Deos. There, you're talking about the Talmud Chacham as a Chiyuv, whereas the Rambam in in Sefer Mitzvahs, codifying the Gemara and Shavuos of Donis Chaver Shemakiro, that's an absolute obligation that's incumbent upon everyone. The only thing that I don't understand, this Chofetz Chaim is a brilliant, brilliant insight, and you know, to be yashiv all the theorists in the Rambam, but I don't understand when he says that the Al Yitfos, you see that in the last paragraph, Al Yitfos Alaya Kore Lema Shabivadiya Ramam Cholik Al Rabbin Yona, etc. Vesomashu Rak Mida Bialma, etc. and etc. And here the Chofetz Chaim seems to approach the Rabbin Yona and the Rambam from the perspective of there's no machlokus whatsoever. They all agree, and they're all on the same page. That I don't know. I accept the Chofetz Chaim insofar as he reconciles the contradiction in the Rambam internally, but I don't know if I'm willing to suggest that all the bumps and the apparent discrepancies between the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah can be leveled off. Because after all, as we saw, Rabbeinu Yonah took a very extreme view on all three categories, whether it was a tzaddik mefursam, whether it was a rasha mefursam, or whether it's a beinoni. And Rabbeinu Yonah requires, in the case of a tzaddik mefursam, to come up with some new chiddush as to why he did what he did. It was letova. In the case of a rasha, you have to come up with a new chiddush why the rasha was motivated by ill intentions. And in the case of the beinoni, the Rabbeinu Yonah requires that you go into an etiel litzad chova, and nevertheless you matel litzad tov. David, you wanted to ask me something before?
No.
Okay, so I'm going to let you go now, and what I'd love you to do, if you have the time, is to review everything that we discussed. And I left out a lot of the makoros here. There's a beautiful Maril Diskin that I'd like you to see on page 4. And I think it goes like this, Joe, that if you judge everyone lekaf zchus, when it comes to yourself, you should be a little bit more honest about it. Meaning, you know, you're not necessarily like everyone else. And this is meant to be ma'orer a person, to awaken a person to do tshuva. That's the whole idea of cheshbon ha'nefesh. And if you mafashmish b'maisav, then you'll say, well, I could have done a lot better. And that's an honest self-evaluation of cheshbon ha'nefesh. Doesn't mean you should get depressed about it.
Good.
I'll point out a few things in the Sefer HaMitzvahs of the Balachinuch, Reish Lamed Hey, Mitzvah Sheyishpot B'Tzedek, starts with the Mitzvah of Dayonim, Lahashvos Bali Ariv, Va'od Yesh Bechlal, Mitzvah Zushroi L'chol Adlonis Chaver L'Kav Schus, and he follows the pattern of the Rambam. But he adds, in the Shorash HaMitzvah, that we're talking about being Dan L'Kav Schus, This is going to increase peace and harmony amongst men. This is going to establish the yishuv with peace and harmony. And then he says, so if you're talking about the mitzvah on dayanim of tzedek tishpas misecha, that only applies to men insofar as only men could serve as dayanim. But if you're talking about the seifa of being danes chaver lekaf zchus, there's no difference between a man and a woman. Then, if you take a look on page 3, you have, first of all, the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Tzadi Zayin, Hachoshet B'Ksherim, Loke B'Gufo, which the Rambam understood to mean to be a reference to the Tzadik, to a person who's a Tzadik Mefursam. And the Amudei Agola, which you'll see on the bottom left, writes in Siman Reish Chaf Hei, Lishpot Tzedek, this is what Joe was telling you before, that I'm the sinner because everyone else is doing great. I'm done, everyone lekavskus, and when I look at it to public, I see everyone doing great, and therefore I say to myself, why don't I size up and measure up to them, the Yashiv Leboro, and therefore he will be awakened to do tshuva. That's what he says. Then I want to point out to you the Maral Diskin and the Chut Shani. He says in the Maral Diskin, L'chora, Einenu Rots Lehepech. Heich Nasa Sheker B'Nafshenu. If we see something that's just the opposite, you know, the person is doing something evil and we play with our brains, I mean, and we assume he's doing good. I mean, we see just the opposite. Heich Nasa Sheker B'Nafshenu. So he says the following. If you look in paragraph A, he says, Ubazer Navchin. He says that the city, he says, that has 10 Jews, Lamashal, and one of them sins, he was Paritz Gedra Boshes. Boshes is that inner sense of self dignity which protects us and inhibits us from doing evil because we don't want to bring upon ourselves humiliation and boshes. But now that we saw one of the 10 members of our city, he did the Avera, then, you know, if it's good for him, it could be good for me too. And therefore he writes in Sivav, HaCholesh, HaChote B'Farhesia, Machlish, Etzem HaPachad, or Otzem HaPachad V'Acharoda, V'Aboshes. There's this natural inhibition to do sin out of an inner sense of boshes that becomes weaker as a result of the fact that someone else did a sin. And now we can perhaps swing back to our original question, why should we be done others lekaf schus? The answer is, we have to do this in order that we shouldn't have a Pesach in our minds, in our hearts, to be poured together and say, well, wait a minute, why should I be embarrassed if he did it and he's not embarrassed about it? The answer is that he didn't do it deliberately, or he didn't do it with the wrong intentions, but rather everyone out there is tzaddikim. That's what it means to be Dan Lekaf Schus. So this is a cumulative kind of self-education and spiritual or soul-cleansing, soul-perfecting process in which we look at the whole world as tzaddikim, and therefore how could we violate our inner boshes against the whole world and do a sin? And if you take a look in the Chut HaShani, he says, Adam Sharoa Maisa Avera Hareza Mashpia Olaf. When a person witnesses an Avera, it has an impact on him. Shahavera Nases Kalabiena. It's no longer this big deal. You know, like my mother-in-law tells that there were people who came from Europe and they were trained to believe that if you turn on a light on Shabbos, you'll be zapped by a lightning bolt is going to hit you and kill you. And so somebody did it, and they lived very well. So people started losing their shmiras ha-mitzvahs in that way. He says somebody does an avera, and it has an impact on others. People see a person turning on lights on Shabbos, they say, all right, they see it's no big deal. He turned on the lights, why can't I do that? And therefore the Chazon Ish writes, Kisher Roim Mechonios nosos b'Shabbos yesh lachshav v'lachlos she'ilu osa mechonios she'ilu osa nesos sahilu gomur halof v'chazov l'nosim harbe mechonios. He says that you should look at the cars and try to reduce them in number and assume it's the same violation of Shabbos. That person drove in one direction, now he's coming back the other direction. But it's not, don't assume multiple violators of the Shabbos, because then you'll get the impression that Yeshna Mechali Shabbos Rabim, the Oz Nasa Kal Yosef Bein of Yisr Shabbos Bein. Therefore, he should try to reduce the number of violators by saying, oh, this car went this way, now it came back the other way. We high timer. Yaitsuru Chazal Lodin Sa'adim Lekav Skus, Af Im Misha Eno Makiro Duhu Klape Atzmo. The reason why you should be Dan Lekav Skus, even someone that you don't recognize, you don't know him, is to help yourself, so that you shouldn't be mashbia or mushpa from his actions, as if to say, look, if he did the avera, I can as well, but rather to assume that he didn't do with ill intentions. L'chein tzorch l'hachlid, he has to come to the conclusion, shahu osa tov, what he did was good. Aval im yishar b'choser yidiyo v'aynu she'efsha shahu over avera azeh yochal hashpil of the kriyas avera. If he doesn't come to any conclusion to be down the kafshus, and he suspects that the other person did an avera, then it's going to be very easy for him to also follow suit, imitating and doing an avera as well. So this whole process of having down the chaver kafshus as an additional element above and beyond what we saw in the chinuch of bein adam lechavero of what he calls is sibo lios bein anashim shalom v'reis. In addition, it's to prevent a person from sin. It's a bein adam lemakom kind of mitzvah as well. And in that context, to be done, everyone lekaf schus, so that you take a more critical approach to yourself and bring yourself to do tshuva, awaken yourself the desire to do tshuva. See, rotzon it be his will that would be zocher to be done, everyone lekaf schus, and that we all do tshuva, and we fulfill this mitzvah both beinon lemakom, beinon lechavero, and perhaps, at least in the case of a tzaddik gomer, and maybe even in the case of a beinoni, to go to the extreme as Rabbeinu Yonah would have it. And yesh laduno l'schus, afilu lefi anira nota lekaf chova yoser. This is one extreme position in the obligation of bein adam. Of Lidan Lekafskus, perhaps a Bein Adam Lemakom, and also in the case of a Tzaddik, because you don't want to be Mushpa from a Tzaddik who did an Avera, also to be done him Lekafskus, even if it means, you know, Bidocha Gomur, everything objectively indicates it's an Avera, find some sort of way of saying that it's not an Avera, it's a Shoge, he didn't know, he was pressured, he was this, he was that. And that's also, I think, a Bein Adam Li'atzmo, Bein Adam Lemakom element. And if we do this and we follow it in Rabbeinu Yonah's footsteps, then Emir Tzashem will be Zolcha both in Bein Adam Lemakom and in Bein Adam Lechavero. Kein Yiratzon Amen. Thank you.